You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Lakers over the Bulls, 101-90. Handle business in Chicago. Next stop, Cleveland. Lakers will try to continue to improve the best record in the NBA. They're 13-4 now on the season, 9-0 on the road. Good to see this Lakers team just jump out all over Chicago, 30-point lead. I'm sure part of the Lakers' motivation tonight was they know they got a day off tomorrow. Enjoy those two football games. Certainly this has been just a great start to the season, and it's not that it's too big of a surprise or a shock. You know, the Lakers are certainly one of a small list of teams that are supposed to compete for a championship, and Lakers trying to go back-to-back at championship number 18. But they're continuing on a pretty much night-to-night basis. I thought the Lakers could have some trouble here against Chicago only because you got so hyped up for that game against the Milwaukee Bucks. It was a great game, phenomenal game against the Bucks. And there's so many great storylines. Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Bucks have had the best record in the NBA 2 years in a row. Giannis winning MVP, LeBron, Anthony Davis. So you had so many great storylines. You thought, will the Lakers have a letdown against Chicago? Will they come out here kind of sleepwalking? We've seen that before with the Lakers. And teams that are competing for an NBA championship, it's not uncommon for them in the grind of a 72-game season, this year 72 games, in this grind that you have some halves and some quarters and sometimes some entire games where you could tell that the team just didn't bring it. You didn't have to worry about that tonight with the Lakers. And you had a big enough lead by the time we got to halftime that even though, the Bulls, I think Bulls were plus 19 in the second half, it didn't matter. The game was never in jeopardy. It was at a point where not only was it not in jeopardy, if you just kind of look at it from this perspective, LeBron and Anthony Davis didn't have to play the entire fourth quarter, which, by the way, let me say, it's kind of actually nice to see the Lakers' second unit in there in the fourth quarter. That's a great sign. When you got Kuzma getting a ton of minutes and Montrezl Harrell and Quinn Cook's getting some PT, even Alphonso McKinney got some playing time, Wesley Matthews, Alex Caruso, Taylor Tucker, all these guys, literally every single player on this roster right here, every one of these guys had the opportunity to play. Markieff Morris, the only player that didn't get in. I'm sure there's a reason for that. But it was nice to see some kind of a flow in this second half where some of these guys can come in and just finish off the job. Let LeBron James and Anthony Davis go sit on the bench and enjoy their performance. Before I get any further, I do want to throw out the phone number here, 877-710-ESPN. If you're out driving around right now or you're listening on the ESPN app, we greatly appreciate you guys being a part of the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show. Let us know your thoughts on this game, 877-710-ESPN. I want to jump back into Anthony Davis here real quick. So AD tonight, I mentioned the 37 points. Everybody knows he's top two, top three, best player in the world, wherever you want to put him. Michael and John were talking about a little bit in the pregame show. Okay, who do you want to put in the mix there? KD, maybe Kawhi. Michael was talking about what a great start Paul George has had to the season. It's a very, very short list of the top players in the NBA. What separates Anthony Davis from every other player in the league is he's the best two-way player in the NBA. He's got the skill set as one of the most complete skill sets in the league on the offensive side, yet he's the best defensive player in the NBA. No disrespect to Giannis, but obviously both of those two players, absolutely elite. Give it to whoever you want, but you know the class that I'm talking about. And when Anthony Davis spends time, and he's done this before, AD will spend time criticizing his own game. To be honest with you, I love it. I really do. It's Coach said this in the pregame. He talked about how he thought AD's being too critical on himself, that he's kind of putting too much on his own back, that he's fine. Everything is fine. He doesn't have to be that critical on him. But I love when a superstar stands in front of a microphone, looks in front of the reporters and says, yeah, I'm not happy with the way I'm playing. I'm not happy with the way I'm performing. I guess it's we don't see it that often. and you really respect his how genuine he is. And it was good to see AD just get back on track. A lot of times when I look at AD's stat line, I spend time looking at AD's stat line, I don't pay too close attention. If he has a night where he went 6 of 16, it's like, all right, the world's not going to end. He's going to come back the next night, and he'll probably go 14 of 21 like he did tonight. He'll probably end up with 37 points like he did tonight. It is not that uncommon to see Anthony Davis have the type of numbers he did tonight on a consistent basis. But when he has a bad game or he's critical on himself, you really, really do kind of respect that. You respect the fact that Anthony Davis wants to come back, have a nice performance. And this is just good for him because when the Lakers go up, this is kind of interesting. When the Lakers play Cleveland coming up on Monday, they got a lot of big men. Andre Drummond is there. Obviously, everybody remembers the Larry Nance Jr. days, the JaVale McGee days. So with all that being said, it's nice to just get AD. All right, the ball's falling back in the hoop. Let me get back to work, and nobody's going to be worried or concerned about Anthony Davis. All right, so keep going here. I'm going to kind of roll in to LeBron James real quick. LBJ, 17 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists, and 2 steals. Just the mere fact that LBJ got some time to just kind of kick back a little bit, didn't have to worry about playing in the fourth quarter, I thought that was fantastic. And then some of these role players for the Lakers, the reality is they really didn't need that much from them. I mean, after LeBron James and Anthony Davis, I think only two players scored in double figures. Montrez gave you 10, only took 6 shots. Talen Horton-Tucker gave you 10, only took 6 shots. Kuzma only took 3 shots. I mean, literally, there wasn't that much else needed from these Lakers role players and everything else. So overall for the Lake Show, I thought it was important to get out to that big lead in the first half. They did not come out disinterested, as we've seen in other games, certainly in the second half against the Golden State Warriors at Staples Center when they were up 16. AD dominated. Lakers now 9-0 on the road, and good for the Lakers. LeBron James and Anthony Davis got some rest. When we come back, let's take a listen to Lakers head coach Frank Vogel, get his thoughts on the win, look a little bit future on that game coming up on Monday, and we'll also take a quick look at some of the NBA scores around the NBA. Stay right here. Thank you for tuning in. 101-90, Lakers over the Bulls, Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
He's guarding Zach LaVine, top of the key. LaVine dribbling left, stolen by LeBron. Caruso picks it up, ahead to LeBron, slam dunk, and the Lakers lead 41-19.
Can I put it in the fridge?
With 7.5 to go, second quarter.
Apparently, Michael Thompson has lost some of his privileges of putting the game in the fridge. Lakers all over the Bulls, 101-90. Defensively for the Lakers, 7 steals for the Lake Show. 4 block shots. You saw that defensive play from LeBron James. Defense turning to offense. The defensive play of the game is brought to you by Adriana's Insurance. Win and save on your auto insurance, and only Adriana's Insurance can guarantee it. For more than 25 years, Adriana's Insurance has been the champion of savings. Visit savewithadrianas.com today. More options, no contracts, just savings. Lakers all over the Bulls, 101-90. Let's hear from Lakers head coach Frank Vogel, get his thoughts on the Lakers' 11-point win over Chicago.
Hey, Frank, just such a different profile from the Milwaukee game in terms of threes versus paint points and kind of defense aside from that third quarter. What does that tell you about the team, and how did you see that play out?
Well, I love the way we approached this game. We want to continue to improve regardless of what the result of the last game was. We want to have a growth mindset. And we have to improve with our paint defense, our transition defense, and our assertiveness offensively. And we didn't shoot the ball that well offensively from the perimeter. But, you know, when you can get to the rim, that's always the first option. And, I like the way we attack the paint offensively. And, obviously the defense in the first half was maybe as good as we've been all year. I think we took 6 charges and just an exceptional commitment to you know, all of our coverages and you know, the paint first mindset.
You were asked about AD's offensive rhythm before the game, and you said that wasn't exactly a concern of yours. He comes out super efficient tonight, 37, you know, 11 points in the paint. I suppose that's what you were, I don't want to say expecting, but can you describe how that occurred in this case?
Yeah, I mean, he just, you know, we want to make sure we're playing through him as much as possible. And, you know, we got a lot of new guys on this team, so there's been times early in the season where myself and even AD has been, you know, trying to get other guys comfortable. And, you know, we knew this week, the beginning of this trip was a time to really start, you know, having him be more assertive. And, you know, he didn't have a great night against Milwaukee, but the mindset was there. And, you know, tonight, you know, obviously he was dominant, you know, with how he was playing. So, like I said, you know, it was not something we're worried about, just something, you know, you balance, trying to get everybody going throughout the course of a long season. And, you know, he was great tonight.
Kyle?
Hey, Frank. I'm sure after tonight, you guys are still the number one defense in the NBA. And obviously, the record speaks for itself. How much of that do you think is a reflection of AD's sort of perfectionism and drive, not only to improve himself, but the team?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's two pieces of what you're talking about with AD. One, what he does personally on the court and the pride that he takes, but the you know, like you said, the perfectionist part of him, you know, wanting to be great on that side of the ball. When your two captains are really bought into being great on the defensive end, the rest of the group follows, and we have a lot of defensive talent. So, you know, if we're working together and we're connected and playing with a locked in mindset, like we saw in the first half, we're very, very difficult to score against. And, you know, with the firepower that we have offensively, we'd be tough to beat. So we got to continue with that defensive commitment.
Dave?
Frank, before the game, you said that probably the top line of the scouting report is opposing teams trying to take away your transition opportunities. Is line number two your three-point shooting? You guys didn't shoot it all that well tonight, coming off a really strong game in Milwaukee. Was there anything schematic or pressure-wise that Chicago was doing that led to that 4-for-19 showing?
You know, I don't think it was necessarily – I mean, Chicago played good defense. I don't think they were trying to take away our threes. You know, they're a paint first type of defense, but their starting center was out, so they played a lot of small lineups. You know, they started a young player at center in Gafford, and you know, I think they were just a little bit undermanned in terms of trying to stop us at the paint. You know, so and we were able to attack, and you know, we'll take threes when they're high quality. You know, when the paint's taken away, you know, we punish them with backside threes. And, you know, we didn't really need that as much tonight with the way we were attacking the paint.
Dan?
Frank, I think you guys also lead – you mentioned the Chargers taking you. I think you guys lead the league in that category. Are those want-to plays? Like what makes a player good at taking charges? And then also kind of what did you think when you saw Caruso – take that one in the first half? It seemed like that was a pretty violent collision.
Yeah, I mean, you know, any type of play like that, you worry about the player's safety and health first. He popped up, seemed to be okay. So I was happy about that. You know, what makes somebody a great charge taker? I think there is a little bit of natural ability, you know, with that. Some guys are not natural charge takers, and we encourage those guys to be verticality defenders. You know, it doesn't really matter whether you're hitting a deck or going straight up in the air. The mindset of having a collision when a driver comes to our basket, you know, that's what's most important. You know, so some guy, we got a lot of guys that take them naturally. And, you know, that's why you see us leading the league in charges. But the collision mindset at the rim is the number one thing.
We'll get to a few more. Jovan?
Hey, Frank, LeBron's cutting has been up this year, and we saw tonight he had a nice couple cuts with AD and Mark. How does having two bigs who can pass with Mark and AD kind of unlock that wrinkle in LeBron's game?
Well, you said it right there. When you have guys that can pass the basketball and, you know, the guys that can shoot the basketball, from the perimeter, the paint is more wide open, you know, for those types of cuts. So, you know, we want to make sure that, you know, especially with Anthony's post-ups, that we give him the proper amount of space to go to work. And a lot of times, you know, they bring soft double teams and they try to sit at the elbow and, you know, just give him a soft double team. And, you know, that's where we're encouraging guys to cut from the backside. We've been able to get Ron a couple highlight reel dunks the last couple of games, you know, with that concept. And like you said, when you have bigs that can pass the ball the way Mark and AD do, and even Trez, you know, you have a lot of those opportunities.
Last one, Andy Kamenetsky.
Hey, Frank, you guys had a really big lead at the half, and that's been the case for a lot of games over the course of this season. It can be human nature to let up with that type of a lead. As a coach, how do you go about either maintaining urgency, manufacturing it, just to try to prevent that from happening as much as possible?
Yeah, we got to be better. You know, I mean, that's the simplest way to put it. Last game, we gave up a lead. We lost, you know, and we talked about that at halftime. You know, we came out and didn't play the third quarter the way we were supposed to and approach that half, really the whole second half, the way we're supposed to. You know, so we'll learn from it and hopefully get better next time. You know, hopefully we're going to be up again by 20 or 30 halftime at some point. And, you know, we'll draw back on this experience, knowing that we didn't do well enough here and we got to be better in the future.
All right, that's Lakers head coach Frank Vogel right there. 101-90, the final score. By the way, that's a good problem to have, is when you're up by so much at halftime that the only thing we could find to critique about this Lakers team is just that third quarter specifically, where the Lakers scored 22 and they gave up 33 points. 101-90, the final score. Lakers 13-4. When we come back, I'm actually looking forward to this. Marc Gasol, who we don't hear from all the time, had three block shots, four rebounds for the Lake Show. We'll get his thoughts on how he's performing, how the Lakers are performing, and maybe we'll get a little bit of a preview of the Lakers and the Cavs coming up on Monday. Stay right here. Appreciate you guys tuning in. This is the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Lakers over the Bulls, 101-90, the final score. Next up for the Lake Show, the Cleveland Cavaliers, 3:30 tip-off, or 5 p.m. tip-off, 3:30 pregame show coming up this Monday. So keep that game in mind there. Points in the Paint all season long is sponsored by Vista Paint. Right now, local residents can take 40% off on factory-direct, high-quality Vista Paint products. A Vista Paint team member will show you how. Locally owned, manufactured, and operated since 1956, Vista Paint. Lakers not only win the game by 11, they outscore the Chicago Bulls in the paint 54-42. That's something Anthony Davis mentioned. He was talking about in his walk-off with Mike Trudell that Lakers were missing threes, so try to dominate the paint, get to the free throw line, and Lakers certainly did that. Marc Gasol for the Lake Show, by the way, had three blocks tonight. Want to highlight that. You know, a lot of times Marc Gasol, from an offensive perspective, he's not going to do – this certainly is not the Marc Gasol was 2013, 2014, the Memphis days, or anything along those lines. But Marc Gasol has his moments. He finds ways to contribute for the Lakers. Tonight, three block shots, four rebounds. Here's Gasol on the Lakers' 11-point win.
Hey, Mark, a totally different way you guys won this game from the Bucks game. It's, you know, threes versus scoring inside and defense taking charges. What are you seeing about the various ways that you guys have been winning games this season?
We kind of, you know, playing with what the defense is giving us, and trying to take advantage and create a spacing for, you know, Bron and AD to kind of operate and decide how the offense is gonna, you know, is gonna look. Sometimes it's gonna be with threes, but you know, the main focus is attacking the paint. Once you get to the paint, you make your decision, see who's open, if it's, you know, the guy driving or the guy posting up, or, you know, where the help is coming from, if they're doubling, you know, just trying to create that offense.
And Mark, just one big picture question for you now, 9 straight wins in the road. Just wondered your thoughts on your experience with this team so far, like what you've enjoyed, how it lines up to what your expectations were or whatever.
I'm very happy defensively how the team looks and it can really, take a next step also. And very deep team, a lot of size, a lot of options, great guys that have the right mindset, team first guys, great leadership, great coaching, all positive. Honestly, it's been really good first couple months.
Dan?
Hey, Mark. I have a couple kind of off the beaten path sort of questions. We're coming up on the 1-year anniversary of Kobe Bryant's death. And
I'm not comfortable talking about it. I'm sorry. Still to this day, I'm not, I haven't never really talked about it. And I'm sorry that I cannot give you any thoughts or stuff on it. But go ahead. You can ask a question.
Well, I mean, the other question I was going to ask is, this team says Mamba on 3 when they break huddles, and now and he's still celebrated within the team. I guess, what does that mean to you that his name is still a part of what you guys are trying to do this year?
He will be a part not only of the team, the franchise, the city, for each player, we talked a million times about it, I think, and everybody said their piece. It's very emotional. He is obviously something that someone that we looked up to. So, yeah.
Thank you, Mark.
Sorry, I cannot give you a better answer.
Kyle? Yeah, Mark. Just about AD. He's obviously coming off a game where he said, "I think I suck," and was given these kind of gloomy assessments of his own performance. What do you kind of see in the days in between games of how he kind of rounds back from those kinds of things?
Maybe it was the home cooking that he got probably yesterday. I would assume, once he starts making shots, you can see the confidence in him and there's no real answer. I've been on the other side when I played against him. Once he starts hitting that mid range and the floor opens up, the defense has to loosen up a little bit, and all of a sudden, like, it's a lot of lane to the basket, his length and his ability to finish at the rim. It's at a very high level, obviously. We have to continue to do a good job of giving him the ball where he needs it and get him going early, continue to give him that spacing that he likes. And defensively, he's just a very unique player. And as good as he is offensively, and especially he is offensively, to me, defensively, it's where he's one of a kind. That length, that IQ, those instincts are very unique. And he's willing too, and he's a willing defender, which makes it even better.
Dave?
Mark, staying on AD, is there anything about the way you play without the basketball that opens up a room for him to operate?
Hopefully the way I play helps him a little bit. I hope so. I like to think so. I like to think that the spacing that I create outside with passing and shooting helps him. I think, but that's a question for him or for the coach. But they still play me a little bit, so that means I'll do some things right.
Take 2 more. Jovan?
Hey, Mark. Third straight AD question for you. He's been vocal about talking to you about passing and you having an influence on him. And so I wanted to ask you, what have those conversations been like and what type of progress and improvement have you seen in his passing throughout the season?
It's more about reads and spacing than anything. Then he has to, at the end of the day, he has to make the read and see what the defense is trying to bait him into. And at the same time, has to stay aggressive. It's a fine line, and he has to dictate what's going to happen and kind of bait the defense to what he wants to do. And he's still, so it's just continue to be supportive when he makes plays and when they go right and when they go wrong. Sometimes you make the right read and it doesn't go the way you want it. You still got to be supportive and be positive about it because it's about the big picture and the long run. So, I like it that he's very open-minded. He's a sponge. He's still, you know, a very young player that is already special and the highest of the game, one of the best players in the league. So for him to still want to get better, I love that.
All right, that's Marc Gasol right there, highlighting a lot of the positives from Anthony Davis, not just tonight but all season long. But for Marc Gasol, 3 block shots for him. So it's good to see him, certainly contributing on the defensive side for the Lakers. When we come back, we'll get a chance to hear from LeBron James. Plus, we'll start previewing a little bit of this game between the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Los Angeles Lakers coming up on Monday. So stay right here. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Alan Sliwa. This is the Pizza at Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, Lakers 101-90 over the Chicago Bulls. Next up, Lakers and the Cavs. Obviously, for LeBron James, that's always a special, special place for him. Won an NBA championship there from Akron, Ohio. Just give everybody kind of a quick idea here. So the Cavs are sitting at 8-7 on the season, actually 6th place in the Eastern Conference. They won their last 2 games against the Brooklyn Nets. One of those games had KD, James Harden, and Kyrie Irving. Yesterday's win, KD did not play for the Brooklyn Nets. But all that, I will tell you this. I will say that, you know, this game against the Cavs, if the Lakers come out just as, I'm not saying you got to be up by 30 points by halftime, but if you come out as interested as they were in making sure to take care of business, Lakers will take care of the Cavs. But Cavs will be a much tougher matchup for the Lakers than this Bulls team was. Colin Sexton's averaging almost 27 points a game. Andre Drummond, 19 points and 15 rebounds a game. Taurean Prince, Jared Allen, Larry Nance Jr. They have 7 guys that average in double figures. So this should be an interesting game against the Cavs. Let's go to LBJ, get his thoughts on the Lakers win. I'm sure LeBron will also talk about that game coming up on Monday and what a special place Cleveland will always be for him. Here's LeBron James.
Hey, LeBron, the rookie Patrick Williams was just quoted in their locker room saying that he heard you calling out a bunch of plays and such, and kind of it shows the film that you watch. I don't want this to be an obvious question, but what does that kind of film session, like how do you actually create that knowledge in the half court for guys to have enough time to execute it? How does that play into it?
Well, I study the teams. I prepare for the teams every day, leading up to the game, watched film on them yesterday. I watched their game yesterday that they had versus Charlotte, and I watched a lot of film this morning, and just try to get, accustomed to a lot of the sets that they run so I can keep my guys prepared, keep them a little bit ahead of the play, just being very knowledgeable about, some of the sets that they like to run, some of the ATOs. Some of the things they like to run a half court, things of that nature, just to have my guys keeping their head on the swivel and not get surprised by anything.
Yeah, the defense speaks for itself with the points allowed in the first half. Offensively, it was a different profile from the Bucks game, threes and paint points. Is how much of that is what the defense is given? How much of that is a focus from the way you're playing?
Every game has its own challenges. So, and every game is its own, you got to win that game. So, tonight was an opportunity for us to get better. And AD came out from the start, being a hometown kid, him and Talo, it was our job to help them get the ball to them and let them make plays in AD, and they both did that.
Bill?
Hey, LeBron. Tuesday will be a year since the accident. And I'm wondering, you were in a really tough spot as the leader of this team going through that and kind of the face of the organization going through that. I'm wondering how you feel like going through that as the leader of this team changed your relationship with the city of Los Angeles and with the organization.
I try not to, put myself back in that headspace because it was, just too dark for not only myself, for organization and for everyone that's involved in it. You know, as a leader of the ball club, it was my job and my responsibility to take it all on, you know, and represent our team with the most strength that I could, you know, prosper at that point in time for the purple and gold for Laker Nation. It was my job to take that responsibility. And I wanted to let everyone know inside his organization that I was okay with doing that, you know, and, you know, yeah, that's all I can say about that.
Dave?
LeBron, Anthony called himself out after the last game you guys had, even though you won, and he said he wasn't playing well as of late. I'm curious, is that part of the accountability that you guys speak about as what you want to have in that locker room, him acknowledging that he wants more from him? And did you do you put your arm around a guy like that? Do you try to help, you know, help him going through whatever the funk he claims it to be?
Absolutely, both. One, sometimes you allow a guy to kind of, you know, go through it and figure it out for themselves, but also at the same time, let him know that we're here for him. You know, and me as a leader of the squad and me as his brother, let him know whatever he needs from me, I can do. And it started with us, you know, getting the ball early and often, you know, tonight. And, you know, and it's just right back on track.
Kyle? Hey, LeBron. One of the common threads between you and Kobe is how much you both love Michael Jordan. And I'm wondering, as when Kobe was coming up, I mean, he was very famous for kind of replicating Mike and doing those moves. As either a teenager or a young guy in the league, was that something that you sort of had an appreciation for and gave you any kind of respect factor for Kobe?
I only looked at Kobe for him. You know, obviously you've seen a lot of the similarities between, you know, him and Mike, but I appreciate Kobe's game for Kobe's game. You know, the way he played the game, the finesse that he played with, you know, the ball handling, the capabilities, the shooting, everything that he possessed on the floor. You know, I respected him for who he was as a player, you know, and what he was able to bring out on the floor, you know, and, you know, the fact that he was able to, you know, take some things from MJ and look at some of MJ's DNA and actually be able to do it. A lot of people try to do that. A lot of people wish they can take things from some of the greats and implement it into their game and then become successful. They just can't. They don't have the ability to do it, or they don't have the drive to do it. They don't have the mindset to do it, but he actually did it and did it at a high level for a long, long, long time. And, you know, you can respect that.
Last question, Dan.
LeBron, I appreciate you and your willingness to talk a little bit about some of this stuff. You guys talk about Kobe. You do it when you break huddles. You did it last year when you wore the Mamba jerseys. You guys have celebrated him in the year. How did that help the grieving process, and why is it important to continue to do that as a team?
It's a saying that says time heals all. You know, and as devastating and as tragic as it was, and it still is, to all of us involved with it. You know, only time, you know, and it takes time. Everyone has their own grieving process. Everyone understands how, you know, everyone individually is different, and everyone is going to, you know, grieve differently, and how long it takes them to come to grips with it, that's up to them and that individual. You know, all you can do as a friend or a loved one or anyone, you know, in our brotherhood and our familyhood that we have here with the Lakers organization, is to put an arm around someone when they need it. So, you know, us being able to remember him and, you know, wear the jerseys during the postseason, have the postseason success we had, like as you guys saw with those uniforms, or, you know, we got a lot of guys that wear shoes still to this day, obviously. You know, I'm able to wear the 2-4 on my finger every night. And then when we play in Staples Center, you see that 8-2-4 in the rafters and be able to just live his legacy on. You know, it's a lot of things that die in this world, but legends never die. And he's exactly that. So, you know, it's all about representing that.
All right, that's LBJ right there. LeBron James, of course, we're coming up to the one-year anniversary of the great, late, the legend, Kobe Bryant. So you're going to hear a lot more conversation about that. And just what an unbelievable, unbelievable player Kobe Bryant was over his career. Lakers over the Chicago Bulls, 101-90, the final score. I will promote here the next game coming up. Lakers and the Cavs coming up this Monday. Our pregame coverage will start at 3:30, and then tip-off is set for 5 p.m. Lakers are 13-4 on the season. They're 9-0 on the road. Let's see if the Lakers can keep things rolling. They got five more games left on this road trip. Thank you for being a part of the show. I'm Alan Sliwa.